Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Poignant and powerful. This is a story that will be hard for any reader to forget. That from a review in Booklist. It's the important new novel, Buried Beneath the Baobab Tree, based on the 2014 kidnapping of more than 200 girls by the terrorist group Boko Haram from their school in Chibok, Nigeria. The abduction of the Chibok girls sparked extensive worldwide media coverage, sparking a global Bring Back Our Girls campaign involving activists and celebrities. Buried Beneath the Baobab Tree is written by award-winning Nigerian author Adobe Tricia Wabani. She is a novelist, essayist, journalist. At age 13, won a writing contest that was her first income, studied psychology in college. Her first novel, I Do Not Come to You by Chance, received numerous awards, including the Commonwealth Writers Prize for Best First Book, named one of the best books of 2009 by the Washington Post. Her writing has been featured in the New York Times, The Guardian, and The New Yorker. Her new book, Buried Beneath the Baobab Tree, Adobe Tricia Wabani, from Nigeria, joins us on This Week in America. Adobe, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. From Abuja, Nigeria. Thank you.
It is such an important book, and you've said going into this, you wanted to write a story that would enable the world to see the thousands of kidnapped girls, not just as numbers, but as the curious, ambitious, lovely daughters who their families wanted to see again. And you tell the story from the point of view of the individual girls. And I think for many of us, it's the first time we have sort of names and faces connected with the girls. It's a really unique perspective, isn't it?
Yes, it is. As I said, to many people around the world, these girls are just numbers. We hear that Boko Haram has kidnapped thousands of girls. We hear they kidnapped over 200 in Chibok. But it begins to sink in. The gravity of the horror sinks in when you realize that these are not just statistics. They're actual human beings, girls who had lives, who had families, who had dreams, and these lives were irreversibly changed by the horrific incidents, the horrific things that were put through during captivity, the captivity itself, and then the actual kidnapping itself, and then the time they spent in captivity before they were rescued. So I wanted the world to feel these realities and see that we're dealing with actual human beings, not just statistics.
And you do an excellent job of portraying that picture for us, the story of a young Nigerian girl who has dreams and aspirations, and we get into her mind and what she wants to do with her life. It's just like girls all around the world, and suddenly those dreams turn to nightmares. Talk about what happened on that night, April 14th, 2014, that dramatically changed their lives and lives of many people in the country and around the world.
Okay, with the Chibok girls, these girls were in a school, a secondary school in a part of Nigeria called Chibok. They were in school to take their exams, their final exams, and they were in the dormitories that night when Boko Haram invaded their school. And Boko Haram carted all these girls into the forest, over 200 of them, in trucks and took them into the forest. And then the international outcry as a result of that incident, which saw the birth of the Bring Back Our Girls movement, and then the involvement of celebrities from Michelle Obama to Malala, people got involved. And because of that, the Nigerian government and international allies got together to bombard the Sambisa Forest hideout of Boko Haram, as they had never done since the insurgency began. And in the process, thousands of other girls who were kidnapped even before the Chibok girls were kidnapped, thousands of girls were freed in that process. So the Chibok kidnapping, in a sense, had its that was just the positive that came out of it, because without the Chibok kidnapping, without the international outcry, those thousands of girls, no one would have known. The world may never have known about their situation, about the fact that these girls had been in the forest, or some of them for at least a year, thinking that they had been forgotten by the world. And then all of a sudden, the Nigerian military turns up with international allies and rescued them. Till today, thousands of these girls remain in captivity, including over 100 of the Chibok girls who were famous. So that's the situation as it is at present.
Well, and what's so interesting, and I mentioned that in your comment, thousands. For most people, they would go, I think it was only a couple of hundred. It's fascinating to find out this has been going on for a number of years, just unpublicized, and as you say, thousands were captured and ended up benefiting from the international campaign.
Yes. That's what really is horrifying, that the world could have carried on when thousands of girls were being stolen from their homes and being put through these horrors. So that's one of the reasons why I've written the book. It's sort of the kind of thing that should shock us into thinking, how can we be on this earth going ahead with everything we do, watching the TV and going on to, you know, watch the latest movie at the cinema, when young girls, human beings, are being put through this kind of horrors and the world keeps quiet. So that really is what is horrifying, to think that all this has been going on without anyone being aware of it, anyone speaking up to these girls, most of them below 18, and just voiceless.
You know, and as you're reading this, in the case of the girls, they not only were kidnapped, many of them watched family and friends being slaughtered that night as well. So you not only have the trauma of kidnapping, but in your mind, you've got your father, you've got your brothers and sisters that were killed right before your very eyes.
Exactly. These girls, I mean, the horrors these girls have witnessed, sometimes they're unbelievable. Some of them are difficult to describe. Now, the interesting thing is, for the average person, when you read about these girls who were captured by Boko Haram and turned into sex slaves, you imagine that the worst things they experienced were the rape and the captivity. Well, the rape especially. But then, when you listen, you ask them the things that frightened them most, things like the Nigerian military aircraft bombing Boko Haram. Bombing Boko Haram without knowing that there are girls with these militants. And so the girls are being bombed as well as the militants. So all the girls I've spoken with, every single one tells me her worst experience while in captivity was when the Boko Haram was being attacked by the military, because the girls were being killed in the process. So there were just so many things. As you said, they watched their family members being slaughtered, their brothers and their fathers. Some of them saw their girlfriends die while giving birth to children. Some of them saw their friends whose legs were blown off by bombs during military airstrikes against Boko Haram. So the things these girls have seen, the horrors they've been through, is beyond just being sex slaves and being taken away from their families. They've witnessed such unspeakable horrors. And I tried to capture as much as possible in my book, Buried Beneath the Baobab Tree.
And you did. The book is Buried Beneath the Baobab Tree. Award-winning Nigerian author Adobe Tricia Wabani, our guest on This Week in America. The book is available wherever books are sold. You can link on directly to Adobe's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. As I'm reading this, I'm thinking, okay, this was 4 years ago. What has happened today? Sometimes we're outraged at something and something else comes along and we tend as a society to forget about it and move on to something else. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing progress?
Well, there is progress. The mere fact that these girls are being rescued, that is progress. The fact that 200 and something Chibok girls were kidnapped and the Nigerian government has been negotiating their release and we have over 100 of them back to their families, reunited with their families now, even though over 100 remain missing, that is progress. The mere fact that for the first time in Nigeria's history, an incumbent president was voted out and a new government and a new president elected, especially the Chibok crisis, the kidnappings of the girls, played a huge part in how Nigerians voted. People said, we can't have a government that can't protect our people, and it affected the elections of 2015, and we have a new government now that is trying very hard. We can see the effort the government is making to bring back these girls. Of course, for the families whose daughters are still in captivity, for those of us journalists who are aware of the thousands still in captivity, it's never enough. You never feel the government is doing enough, and we don't want them to stop. There's still so much the government can do, still so much the world can do. Yes, the kidnapping cannot remain in the international headlines forever. We understand that a news cycle is short, but these events disappear, and then other events take over in the headlines. But that's why we have books like mine, keeping the stories in the consciousness of the world and letting everyone know that there is still so much to be done. The story I've written doesn't end on the last page. Real girls are still in captivity today as you and I speak.
You went through a number of interviews, literally hundreds of interviews. A couple minutes left in the program. Talk about doing that. And I understand you were sort of undercover as you were doing this, and you put together this composite of what exactly happened and is happening. It's still an ongoing tragedy.
Mm. Well, I spoke with a lot of the girls. I got access. I mean, I know some of the families even before their daughters were freed. I was in touch with some of the families. So it was easy to get in touch, especially with the Chibok girls. get access to them after they were released. And I went to the camps where the refugee camps where the government kept these girls after they were brought out of the forest. So I've spoken with dozens of girls who were involved, who were kidnapped, and who were free. So that's how I got the story that I presented to the world. So it wasn't about research. These are people I sat down with. I watched them weep. I listened to them. I wept with them a lot of the time because their stories are so horrible and so emotional. You cry along with them. But I listened to these women tell the stories, which is why it was so easy for me to capture their experiences so accurately because I had heard it firsthand from them.
Now, it's an interesting point. The research was not going to a library and looking at news stories and piecing it together. The research was sitting with girls who were kidnapped, family members, and putting that story together. It's the new novel, Buried Beneath the Baobab Tree. Award-winning Nigerian author Adobe Tricia Wabani is our guest on the program. The book is available wherever books are sold. You can link on directly to all that information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, coming to us from Nigeria. Adobe, excellent job. It's a very important book, one that people needs to read. The book's available wherever books are sold. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure. Once again, the book, Buried Beneath the Baobab Tree. You'll find it wherever books are sold. Information at the website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.